Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today we begin a week focused, our morning devotion will be focused on learning to rejoice. And we're going to be unwrapping a passage out of Philippians, probably a familiar passage to many watching, that begins by saying, rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice. And that specific verse will kind of headline tomorrow's devotion, but we're looking at this entire passage that comes out of. And many times we think of Philippians as a book of joy. It uses the word joy or rejoice or some form of those a great many times in just a few short chapters. But I've said numerous times as I taught about this, who do you typically tell to cheer up? Normally, it's not someone who's already cheerful. It's those that, well, need encouragement to become cheerful. And rather than a book of joy, a people of joy, I believe that perhaps the Philippians were struggling in that department. And Paul knew, and God knew, that they needed some encouragement. They needed some instruction. They needed a cheerleader to help them learn to rejoice always. And so as I spent some time last week working on the prayer guide that emailed out early this morning, the topic is to rejoice and learn to rejoice. And I use that phrase because I think it is something that we can learn. So many times we think about rejoicing, we think about joy, and we kind of determine or by default accept the idea that either we have it or we don't. I love the old definition that joy is this deep abiding presence compared to happiness, which is dependent on happenings. But we often confuse the two or equate the two as being the same thing. And so our joy kind of becomes based on what happens. And in that regard, we determine, we believe that either we have it because things are going well or we don't have it because things aren't going well. And yet, when God commands us to rejoice always, we ought to be able to read into that the idea that it's possible. At least with His help, it's possible. That's kind of the truth of all of God's commands. They're dependent on His help. We struggle to do the good that we know we ought to do. Paul wrote a lot about that. When we try to do it on our own, it's difficult enough when we do it with God's help. And that's what it comes down to, learning to rejoice. I think it begins with an attitude, with a decision that yes, we will rejoice. So many times we start the day. That doesn't start well. And we get into our mind a negative attitude. Something happened at home. Something happened on the way to work. Something happened when we walked into the door at work. Something bothered us on our social media feed. Whatever it is, you can fill that thing in because you know it. There are times where I'll be in this great mood. I'll be rejoicing. I'll be worshiping God. I'll have finished up a morning devotion online, and I'll be heading to work, and some driver does something foolish that just irritates me. And I'll discover how easily it is to move from an attitude of rejoicing to one of grumbling, to one of anger, to one of sorrow. And all kinds of things that move into my mind where rejoicing ought to be. And it's not really that they did something to me. It's I chose, or I did not prepare, at least, to take every thought captive. There are times it's just people doing foolish things that bother me. And they may not even be doing it directed towards me or affect me in any way, but if we're going to learn to rejoice always, we must take seriously God's instruction to take every thought captive. I believe this practice of learning to rejoice begins in our mind. It's where each one of us decide at every moment whether I will rejoice or not. And yes, there are outside stimuli that impact our life that make it easier or more difficult. For me, it's easy to sit along a lake somewhere and watch the sunset over the water and automatically rejoice. What an incredible God. Or to be in a kayak on a lake watching the sun rise as the mist kind of comes up off of the water, the birds singing in the background. It's easy to rejoice, at least for me, in those settings, but I believe we all have those. Those things that we feel in our very being, that the presence of God is near. But what happens if we take God at his word and begin to trust and believe and feel the presence of God is near all of the time? When you're driving down the road and that person cuts you off, when you walk into work and a coworker says something that's, well, just very unkind. When you go to school and a classmate teases you or knocks your books out of your hand or tells lies about you to your classmates. You see, there's not a shortage of things that happen that frustrate us. At least not in my life. If you have a shortage of frustrating things, then let me in on that secret, I guess. But we all experience things that are a part of life that are not easy. They may not even be right. But they don't have to steal our joy. That decision is up to us. As much as we may want to blame it on someone else, as much as we do blame it on someone else, it isn't their fault. What they're doing might be their fault, but stealing our joy is, well, that's on us. God instructs us to know and be aware. I love the psalmist says to be still and know that he is God. And I don't know that we often think about that. I don't know that I've often thought about that in the presence of learning to rejoice. But if I can rejoice easily when I'm fully aware of God's presence through nature or through an incredible peaceful scene, what would happen if in the midst of the frustrating parts of life, I would be still and know that he is God? I would know his presence even in those moments. I suspect I would be less likely to allow someone to steal my joy. I suspect I would be more in tune to rejoicing. I would be reminded of God's presence. I would know that he is with me. You see, I believe those two things are key to learning to rejoice. Learning to take every thought captive and learning to acknowledge the presence of God in everything that you do. Acknowledge the presence of God that will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, those reminders are things that ought to help us learn to rejoice. So this week we're going to unwrap Philippians I believe it's chapter 4, verse 4 through 7 or 8, if I remember right. And take a look at the components there. Together we can learn to rejoice. And in doing so, we can represent Jesus well. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. You have given us your Spirit to dwell within us, to guide us, to comfort us, to direct us, to teach us, to convict us, to do all kinds of things. And so, Father, today, as we prepare to worship together, may we learn to rejoice. May the rejoicing that we do when we are alone with you in nature, when we are with others in a worship service, when we're in the midst of our prayer times, may that overflow into every aspect of our life. Father, today, help us to be more deliberate about taking every thought captive, about not allowing others or the enemy to steal our joy. Father, in those times of frustration, may we hear your Spirit loud and clear to calling us to be still and know that you are God, to be still and know that your presence is with us. And Father, may the awareness of that presence help us to rejoice as we ought to. Father, may our life of rejoicing be a genuine rejoicing that attracts others to Jesus. May it encourage others to live with greater joy. Father, as I pray for the children in our homes, our schools, our churches, our communities, I pray that you would protect them from all of the frustrations of this world that try to steal their joy. That you would help them to know the power within them, that your power can overcome the theft of joy, that they have the ability in Christ to resist those thieves, to take their thoughts captive, to be aware of your presence. But Father, may we be mindful of our own actions, our own words, our own attitudes towards the children around us, that we would not be the source of those frustrations, that we would not be the source of them allowing their joy to be stolen away. As we watch children at play in carefree environments, may we learn from the joy that they have. And may we learn to live with that carefree joy, knowing that we are safe in your hands, that regardless of what happens to us here on earth, that your love and your care is eternal. So, Father, as we pray today, I ask that you would continually remind us and teach us and help us to grow in this practice of rejoicing always. Father, in those times that we fail and that we allow the frustrations to creep in and take over, may we know there's a way out of that by turning back to you, by re-engaging our life with your presence in it, by being still and knowing that you are God and that you are present. So, Father, today, may our life be lived in such a way that a spirit of joy is seen within us, your spirit. And may we rejoice in such a way that Jesus is seen, that he is heard, that he is known. And may our rejoicing be genuine, that those who see it would know that it's real, that it's not just a front or a show that we put on. So transform our hearts and our minds so that as we learn to rejoice, that it comes from a pure heart and pure motives. Father, today, help us to lift up Jesus in everything that we do so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Sunday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.